podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later.
Mostly about opinions, sometimes about facts, depending on who you ask. Since you're here listening to us, subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, Google Podcasts, wherever. We are there. And follow us on social media as well. We're on Instagram and Twitter at WTATL Official. And we're also on TikTok at WTATL.podcast. Now I'm about to tell you what episode we're on.
I have no idea.
We're on 128.
I was about to say 128. But we're back. How are you guys doing?
I think you're not already.
I am splendid.
Oh, piss off, Tony.
I swear, your energy
changed. She was like, oh, I'm so tired. We're not going to have
your
any energy.
Your energy switched up,
boy. Listen, let's give a round of applause. Tottenham Hotspur in the Champions League.
Mute her mic, bro.
If you can see these two faces here, listen, I'm not in a good mood myself, but yeah, the faces
listen,
here are
there's
emotional.
No more pessimistic tags yet. I'm going to be deluded, even more deluded than Abdi. We're winning the Champions League next season, mate.
All right, everyone chill.
I said
I was talking to Junior on Sunday.
Deluded tags.
I hate it when Tanya comes on this podcast happy.
Why? You just want me to be miserable. That's so horrible.
The worst thing is that this is like...
The season's over.
Like this is it. You've got this now until the season starts again.
That's a whole 12 weeks, man. Is it 12 weeks?
Ooh,
76 days. That's a banging song, by the way.
Do you know what it actually is?
The way you're talking to me suggests you don't think I can fight.
I don't think you can. To be fair, I reckon I could take you, big man.
I'll see you outside then.
All right, cool.
If you're gonna have this smug behavior, then you might as well go.
Listen, I'm gonna be smug. I can't lie. I'm gonna be smug.
Listen, if the shoe was on the other foot,
exactly,
on the other foot.
Have you ever known me
to not be humble? Honestly, I did. Do you know what's embarrassing? Yeah, before the Tottenham game, yeah, I was hoping that we'd secure it, and then the next podcast, I swear to God, I had this whole thing planned for a couple of weeks.
I was gonna say,
do you guys want to hear my ringtone and play the Champions League theme?
Oh my God! To be honest, I was thinking about playing it, but I thought copyright and that, we don't want to get in trouble, innit? So. Yeah, I thought I'd sing it instead.
I mean, you thought I'd think about these things. She said I'd sing it instead and then came out with the European.
No, that wasn't singing what she did, though.
No, but I did the Champions.
Yeah, that's not singing.
Did you not hear me make it in?
I didn't hear that.
Whatever, man.
Champions League getting on your mind, bro. I can't lie.
It literally isn't.
Anyway, continue, Junior. Sorry.
I don't know why you brought it back to me, but yeah. Shall we just kick off the spotlight again?
Yeah, we'll kick off. Yeah.
All right, pardon the pun.
Yay!
Mark, come on, man. That's what I do, innit?
The pun deliverer.
Hosting. Respect it. Got to host it, innit? Host it up. But anyway, our spotlight game is City versus Villa. And is it City versus Villa?
Why is everyone looking at me, bro?
Anyway, City versus Villa.
You evil guys.
Villa were 2-0 up. And... for the longest time, everyone's just like, Liverpool just need to win. Yeah. And they were drawing with Wolves for
Man City weren't ages. Man City weren't off the top of the table at all.
No.
That day, so.
No.
I mean, yeah.
There was only a period where they were like level on points, right? And then that changed quickly.
Yeah. Listen, we'll get into the goals and stuff soon, but the one thing I want to say is Watkins. For someone, he came out with an interview last week saying he wants to become like a certified shooter, i.e.
Nah.
This you guy, you know,
man,
give him
relax.
The chances, he'll bag him. He wants to be hitting 20 plus a season.
Nah.
This guy is embarrassing, bruv. Embarrassing. The amount of chances this guy misses. For someone who I actually think is a decent striker, it's just...
The one where he fell over himself was just
he really did.
That being said, they did go 2-0 down anyway. So Watkins didn't miss, really didn't mean anything.
No, but they could have gone 3-0.
Yeah, but they could have had more.
They could have had 3 or 4
well,
goals.
You know, Man City, you know, they could have easily, when they got a goal back, they could have easily scored 3-4.
So you're telling me, like, if they're 3 or 4 nil down.
Yeah, it would have been different.
They 100% they're not just going to bounce back and score four goals.
Well, you saw what happened. They scored 3 in 5 minutes, so.
No, but Watkins, he did have clear
chances. And also, hold on, stop. If you ever roll your eyes at me ever again like that.
Can you stop?
You let the listeners know who you're talking
Junior,
to?
Junior, I just right now he just rolled his eyes at me. Like,
and
oh,
you're talking to someone whose team's in the Champions League, so you need to relax about your.
Are we getting this energy all podcast? I like it. I don't mind the energy.
Have you ever in your life been to a parade where you see a team lift a trophy?
Don't worry, we're winning the whole thing next season. So yeah,
bruh, the whole thing.
Yeah, man, we win everything. Quadruple. Anyway, we digress.
Honestly, Harry,
I
can't even say anything. Like,
the thing
so
is, we
angry.
Have no comeback.
I would be so rude.
I can see it in both your eyes. You really want to clap back, and you're like, you know what? I just can't.
No, but as a neutral, that was absolutely spectacular, and what an advert for the Premier League. It's the best league in the world.
Do you know what my pet peeve is in football? When the away team is not facing their fans in the second half. So, right. Like, you know. Mm.
But sometimes that's not a choice that's taken out of their hands by the Quintos.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, like, you know, even like, it's just visually, you know, even with Real Madrid, you know, all of these amazing wins they've been having, they've got that stand behind the goal that's empty. So they've really fumbled because they're missing out on some quality limbs. And then in the second half, Man City are attacking the second half with, you know, that Aston Villa. It doesn't look good. It's not a visual thing. It's just a pet peeve of mine, but go on.
So we just abolished the Quintos for Abdi.
Yeah, I just think you should be majority of the stuff that happens. And this guy's an idiot, man. Don't be bitter at me because your team didn't win the league, man. Why are you upset anyway? Because the whole time you were like, I don't think we're going to win the league.
Do you want to know why? It's because for the first time at 2-0 Villa, I actually had hope.
Yeah, anyone would have hope in that situation.
For the first time, like I said, listen, if you listen to this podcast weekly, then you would have heard me say pretty much every week when these guys were questioning me, listen, City are going to win all their games anyway. So I didn't have that hope. I had, obviously, you've always got hope, but it was 2-0 Villa. I actually sat back and thought, oh my God, this could actually be happening. That's actually what hurt me more. It would have been a lot easier to take if City went and they were 4-0 up by half time.
Yeah.
Could have just sat back, accepted it, and thought, cool.
Just enjoy your team playing.
Just enjoy it. And we'll get on to the Liverpool game in a second, but what a game that was. Obviously, most of you probably watched City, or I know you two were at the Emirates, so you obviously were watching Arsenal.
Yeah.
To be fair, I didn't really pay attention to the second half. I was on my phone.
I was sitting, like, we were watching the game, we were paying attention, unlike Abdi, but just the people around me, like, especially Gary Lewin, he was just, like, on his phone the whole time. He's like, oh, Liverpool scored. Oh, City, it's 2-2. Oh, it's 3-2. And he just, like, we were just being informed.
All of
the
boys
time.
Around Junior, Steve and Gary and
Man, Steve, don't lie, man.
Steve eats a pie.
This guy, he saw Gary Lewin, he was like, he got all shook up.
Gary
like,
Lewin is the old England physio. And yeah, Arsenal physio.
No, Arsenal legend.
I know Gary Lewin. Yeah, big man.
Pep's substitutions changed the game.
Who did Pep bring in? Gundogan and Sterling.
He took off. And Gundogan.
Yeah, so he brought on, he took off Fernandinho at half time, who, by the way, if we're judging by the red cards that Aaron Cresswell got in the Europa League,
he should have been sent off.
Fernandinho should have been sent off in the first half. But listen, that's history. It's old news. Just happened.
Bramthwaite, or whatever his name, the Everton Don, he got sent off for a similar thing against Brentford.
So yeah, he brought Zinchenko on at half time.
Game changer.
Stones in at centre back, Cancelo at right back, Zinchenko at left back. Mm-hmm. Then he took off after 70 odd minutes. He brought on Gundogan and Sterling for.
Mahrez came off.
Mahrez and Bernardo Silva.
And Sterling provided the assist for the.
Just for Guardiola, like the three players who. Well, apart from Fernandinho, but three of those players that have been there since he first came, Gundogan, Sterling and De Bruyne, all come up trumps and essentially win the title for him.
Wow, so you're praising De Bruyne?
I'm never going to say a bad thing about De Bruyne ever again because his form in 2022 has been incredible. I have to hold it. I told you, I'm fair, you know. Like, I'm fair. I'm not.
I respect it.
That's an open-ended statement.
When I was thinking about it, like, he got Premier League Player of the Year, you know, and then a lot of people are saying, oh, well, he wasn't good in the first half, but like you have to take into account how good he's been since 2022. Like, he's been spectacular, you know. So and also, like, you just can't ignore his form in it. Like, the other week when he scored four goals with his like left foot in it, I was like, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Like, I thought with Man City, I think if they had their full team, this wouldn't even been like a contest in this game. Like, Villa have lost 19 games this season, which is ridiculous. So, and then Man City, obviously, I just feel like it was just nerves, and also the fact that they've got quite a few injuries at the back. No Diaz, no Walker.
But you have to say, like, what Tanya was saying, it's an advert for the Premier League, because, like, at what, like, when you think about it, yeah, like, if you think about other leagues, you never think about Bayern going to like Stuttgart and
exactly
being 2-0 down.
It would never happen.
Like, obviously, they do lose over there, but like, yeah, you'd never, like, any team can beat any team in the Premier League, and I think that's why people love it so much.
It's only one other league this season that has been competitive in a Serie A. All the other ones have been.
Yeah, exactly.
And oh, so, by the way, this is a tangent, but I'm so happy that AC won.
Same.
Yeah. So happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so like, so to be honest, when I was sitting there and City were 2-0 down, I didn't actually think like City were going to lose it.
No, I did, because if you watch the game, yeah, they didn't look like they were going to.
Well, I wasn't watching the game. I was just hearing the highlights. I was just hearing the updates.
Hearing the highlights. Yeah,
he just had his phone hearing the highlights.
I was streaming it. He was listening to it.
I was hearing the updates from around me, and people were. As soon as the first one went in, I was like, oh, they're going
to
come.
I was updating the guy next to me, but he just didn't care. He was like, well.
I was just trying to make friends and no one's to talk to him.
So you're mugging him off about Steve Barry and that, and yeah, you were chatting to them for the whole game.
No, I was sitting up and doing the same. Yeah, I wasn't sitting next to him.
So who were you with? You weren't with Steve?
No, I was just sitting to some old guy now. I was telling him about, oh, Spurs are 2-0 up. He's like, Spurs are 2-0 up, yeah? He turned away. I was like, you don't want to have a conversation with me? So like, you're rude. But I mean, that was the biggest cheer of the when Man City went 3-2 up. The Everton fans were mental,
crazy.
Oh, they're so shameless, man. Come on.
Hey, I mean, yeah. In the ground as well, they were seeing the Arsenal fans were seeing Patrick Vieira kicks when he wants.
Yeah,
that was quite funny. And Iwobi gave away a penalty. It was like Alex Iwobi. He's one of our own. He's one of our own.
Oh Jesus.
But yeah, I mean.
But to be honest, when Gundogan scored that goal, I mean, it's up there with like the Aguero moment.
The first
it's
one.
Not, yeah, not just. It's
did
not
he
there.
The third one? Who scored?
He scored the first.
Rodri
and the
scored
the
second one.
Yeah, but who scored the third?
One? Well, Gundogan scored first and third.
Yeah.
Like Junior just said to you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Rodri scored the second.
What a goal by Rodri as well.
They're like, important goals, you know. Recently, like he scored so many big goals recently. Yeah, he's been fantastic.
That finish was so perfectly placed.
And also, we gotta get Martin Tyler off commentary, man.
Oh, it's no, so I don't like Martin Tyler.
Bad.
No,
man.
There's
terrible.
No emotion. But did you
terrible.
See his commentary for when Matip scored against Southampton?
Terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, and Matip scored. That's it. Literally, like,
no, you
have to have like, emotion.
The goal to take the title race to the last day of the season, and man,
nothing. Yeah.
But he did. He had
compare it to Peter Drury.
He had
got
a goal,
like, emotion.
He had a goalgasm when Redmond scored.
Goalgasm.
Goalgasm.
Yeah,
that.
Whatever, man. He did though.
He went a bit crazy when Redmond scored.
Sometimes he does go crazy.
I think he has a thing against Liverpool.
He proves it.
How long have I been saying this for? No, but listen, in terms of City, I think, well, you all know, I don't know about the actual people who listen to the podcast, but not a massive fan of theirs in terms of the way they conduct business. Mm-hmm. It's very shady, it's very fishy. But I have to give that set of players and Pep credit for 2-0 down, final day of the season.
Yeah, the mentality.
70th minute onwards, you've got 20 minutes to save your season. Listen, if that was it. It was Prem or nothing for them, and nothing for them is a massive failure. You could even argue...
Yeah.
The finances that they've got and the squad that they've got, that just the Prem is not a failure, but it's it wouldn't have been their target at the start of the season.
Yeah.
But I have to give them credit for the way they bounce back from 2-0 down.
Yeah.
I think I give them credit for the fact that Liverpool have been playing before them a lot of these games recently.
Mm.
And obviously Liverpool kept the pressure on for how long? Liverpool ain't lost since, what, Leicester game, was it? You've only lost twice this season, and you haven't even... Mm-hmm. Well, you think you dropped points in two games in the whole of this calendar year?
We've played 60 games and lost three.
So exactly, yeah. So what, three all competitions?
Inter Milan in the Champions League, second leg, and the two...
Yeah, exactly. You're playing against this super team that is like flipping, you know, winning every week. And then they kept their cool and won it. So I've got to give them credit. But they did blow it up because they were like 8, 9 points clear, weren't they, at one point?
14.
14 points clear of Liverpool. Mm. And also the Champions League is a massive failure as well. So
yeah,
I think
huge.
Winning the Premier... For me, I always say, like, we've always had this conversation on the podcast. What would you choose, Premier League or Champions League? For me personally, I'll say Premier League. Although we've never won Champions League before, but I mean, I'd always want the Premier League more because I feel like it's harder. And then like they always say, like, when it gets to 30 games and those last 8 games are just the hardest, literally have to dig really, really deep. And then, like I said, on top of that, they had like injuries to like their key defenders. Like, you know, imagine obviously, I feel like Liverpool have had small injuries recently, like Obviously, Van Dijk, I get that injury shout,
but you got to think the back four that they lined up is still worth 200 million odd.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, it's
there's no excuses in terms of squad depth for them. Yes, they might have been missing a couple of key players.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, for them, like, they're two of their key players, Diaz and Walker. It's almost like you do Trent and Van Dijk. It's the same thing, though. So, but yeah, I still think for them not winning the Champions League or not at least getting to the final is still a massive. Question mark on their season.
If you're looking at improvements, like they reached the final last year, the minimum should be to reach the final again and like
and
that.
They threw it away.
Like, it will be next season. We make a joke out of this all the time. You do it quite a lot where Pep and Klopp are probably like, can we just swap?
Next season
it will be top target for Liverpool by far and away will be the Prem. And for City by far and away it will be the Champions League.
Mm. Yeah,
so it'll be interesting dynamic next season again.
It's weird, like with Liverpool, like they've had such an incredible season. Like, I can't understand Liverpool players, Liverpool fans who are criticising them because
they've literally
played every single available game in club football. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And so, like, and they're just, the fact that there's a team made up of £500 billion or something like that, that's the only team that's beaten them to achieving everything, which is kind of mad, like, you know, just to think that, you know, and these players are still, like, still going, you know.
And there's a final dead that they've got on Saturday, you know. Like,
yeah, they've literally got to the final stages of every cup competition, and you're 1 point off City, and you're looking at the points, right?
He's 93.
Huh? Oh, no, I had an itchy eye, bro. I know that looked like that. That actually looked like I did have an itchy eye.
93, 92. These are the levels 92. That you both Listen, teams are setting. It
92 points
outrageous.
Wins you pre. Pre this era of City and Liverpool.
Wins you every league.
Pretty much, other than last season with Liverpool, other than that, pretty much hitting 90 plus points every season.
Mm.
This 92 points would have won us the league every year since the Premier League was formed in 1990 or whatever it was. So, but nowadays it's not good enough. So
92.
So we've got.
And also, Chelsea got 93 in 2017.
But they won it.
Yeah,
they won the league.
But you got 92, so you wouldn't have won the league.
So every season bar one.
Okay, cool. I just corrected you. That's fine.
Oh, thank you.
But as a neutral, though, I mean, don't get me wrong, Man City, Liverpool, they deserve to be where they are. I do want to see someone else now enter that title race
conversation.
And
who would that be, Tanya?
I'm not saying it's going to be Spurs, but, you know, even if it was like a Chelsea, I wouldn't love it, obviously, but it just makes it a little bit more interesting.
No.
You know?
No.
I just want, do you want it to be Man City,
What's interesting about Chelsea
Liverpool
being in the
forever?
Title race?
Do you want it to be these two teams forever? Well, I personally don't.
I don't know. I feel like football works in cycles. So, like, where we've had Man United, Arsenal, then we had Man United, Chelsea, now we've got City versus Liverpool.
Both of the managers just signed up again.
Yeah, like
Pep hasn't yet.
Well, essentially, he will do it eventually.
But again, it's still cycles, though. Like, it might be a longer cycle than previously, but even Sir Alex had to retire at one point, and Man United gave up their stronghold on the title.
Hopefully, Klopp gets arrested or something.
What?
And what about Pep, big man?
Well, Pep, boy, he's going to get arrested eventually. He's linked to them dodgy arrows. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
But yeah, so the cycle will end. Obviously, like, City still will have the spending power, and it'll remain to be seen if they can get a manager like at the quality of Pep.
I've got a question for you lot, and it's about Newcastle.
Oh, here we go.
How do you see them challenging in 4 or 5 years' time? Do you see it being sooner? I don't say this to you guys because I'm trying to be that guy, but do you see them overtaking Spurs, Arsenal, etc. in the next
few years? Not right now, because I don't think...
No, but in terms of the players that they can... And if they, let's be honest, if they do this City style,
mm-hmm.
where they balance the books in a way that is not dodgy. Necessarily... Yeah, dodgy, as Junior said. Who knows what they can do? It did not take City long to win a title. And then they kept winning them, and now you can't get rid of them.
I'm worried about Newcastle, I'll be honest. And I you know, said that I don't think they'll be able to attract the players. It doesn't matter. But actually, you look at the players they've signed, and they've had a really good season. And they can spend, what, is it up to 400 million?
I mean, you've got to think their second half of the season was Champions League form.
They were the third best team in the
Champions League.
That's scary.
Oh my God. I mean, like, hopefully next year we get half a season, then they might win the league. Isn't it? So.
I think teams like, obviously, Spurs, Arsenal, I think we should be worried about Newcastle.
I'm definitely worried, but I don't think right now, because I don't think they have a top level caliber manager. I think he's a good manager, but I don't think.
You were speaking to Eddie Howe when I said this. He was like, no, he deserves.
You was Gritty Bruce's biggest fan.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not saying Gritty Bruce is going to win the league next year, is he? So I'm just saying, I think they'll attract players, and there are certain players, but it sort of be like, you know, Man City when they first got the money.
Yeah.
They had Mark Hughes as manager, and they obviously it took them a while to get into the Champions League and then be that.
But that's why I posed the question of like 4 or 5 years. I'm not talking next season.
I mean, I guess so. Yeah. I think the thing is, they've got unlimited. But they've got a bottomless pit of money. But so again,
it's another club funded by a state, country, whatever you want to call it. So
I'm going to need all of you lot to keep that energy for Newcastle.
The
energy you have for Man City, and you hate them so much, I'm going to need that for Newcastle.
The thing is that what Newcastle have that Man City don't have is a blueprint for how it's done. So like, they can literally look at Man City, see all the mistakes they made, and literally.
Well, Man City had
and by the way, to flip that back on you, I'm going to need you to keep that. When Newcastle take that Champions League spot from you, and teams around, I'm going to need you to like them how you like City.
No, I don't.
No, it doesn't work.
Oh, no.
Because when it affects you, it's different. You will understand when they take soon. Understand soon. When it affects you directly, you'll understand.
Abdi genuinely looks lost for words.
No. If you want to fight, we can fight. That's fine, isn't it? But what I'm saying is that the reason it's not even like I like Man City. You guys always, I know it's a running joke, you say I like Man City, I'm a Man City fan, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay, we won the league. But I'm just saying, it's the thing is, like, when Tanny was just saying now, like, oh, it's a bit boring with Liverpool and Man City, and then hope, I'm not saying I want Chelsea to win, but it's more interesting. I hate everyone. Like, I legitimately hate all of these top six. I hate them. Like, obviously, I'm an Arsenal fan. I hate Tottenham more than anything. I hate Chelsea. I hate Man United. I hate Liverpool. And Man City.
See,
I hate them.
No,
I do hate Man City. Like, and I will change my opinion next season. I think Man City, three-peat is a bit too much for me. Like, winning three in a row, I don't want to see that. But it's the least hateable. Like, I hate all of these stuff. Like, growing up, all of those ones, I hated them.
Because you don't know any City fans.
I don't know any City.
I always say that's such a cop out.
No, it isn't.
Such
Why is that a cop out? Well, you just want me to like Liverpool. I would never like Liverpool.
Tell me when I've explicitly said those words.
No, you haven't said it, but you've insinuated it.
So, and also, when have words I, into my mouth
when
now. Public domain.
Gone. Why is it a cop out?
Huh?
Why is it a cop-out?
Because your excuse for... Nah, I'm not even going to get into it. I just think for you to say... For someone to question your rationale on a club, for your answer to be, I don't know any of their fans. I just think it's such an easy way out.
They're just clubs that you just hate.
Of course, I'm not here to direct who you like and don't like.
It was certain fixtures, and you just that particular fixture just made you hate them. Mm. Like,
yeah, so
there's no rivalry.
But that doesn't talk about the fans. Like, he's saying like the reason why he doesn't.
That's not the
like
sole
Messi.
Reason. That's not the sole reason.
But it's the main reason.
No, it isn't the main reason. It's because I hate all the others more. Growing up, I've hated Chelsea and Liverpool and Tottenham and Man United. Yeah. Everyone, if you're a normal human being, you should hate Man United. That's just general. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Like, you are a seriously questionable human being.
What was the thing you said earlier? Eric 10 months.
Eric 10 months. Well, we all pray in it. Like, you know, he's like Eric Ten Hag. He doesn't come across as an offensive person. But I want him to fail badly.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the way it is, isn't it? Like,
do you see what he said about everything has to come to an end eventually?
Like, well, yeah, hopefully.
Mate, he wants to be winning titles next season. I'm like, bro, you need to relax.
But he's talking about Man City and Liverpool.
Nah, man. The only thing that's going to end is his mortgage in his house. Well, we hope so, innit? Like, but yeah, do you want to talk about Liverpool then?
Yeah.
Well, just before we move on, so KDB and Foden were voted both Player of the Year and Young Player of the Year. Abdi kind of mentioned the KDB one. The one I was most shocked at is Foden.
Yeah, I was.
Absolutely.
Because I just felt like...
Disappointing.
There were
did you see the nominees, though, like for who were in it?
Gallagher, for me, shouldn't have been nominated.
Gallagher was in the PFA Player of the Year.
Yeah,
I cannot believe it.
It's gone a bit too far with
it's
that.
It's not even Young Player of the Year.
I didn't even get nominated. I'm still fuming about that.
And the thing is like, for the Young Player of the Year, there was two of them that were in the Player of the Year thing. And And I think two of them should have won. Well, more so Trent, to be honest.
He's nominated for player of the year, yeah, Premier League player. There's difference. There's the Premier League and then there's PFA. Yeah. PFA is the main one. The main and then you've got the football right.
Premier League is like EA Sports almost. Yeah, that's sponsored almost by
like,
EA
it's
Sports
like the fantasy football one, essentially. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, there's the two main ones. The two main ones are the PFA player of the year and
the Young Premier League.
No. The football right is the one that Salah won.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So those are the main two. But I think, listen, I personally think Trent should have won that. But if we're veering away from, and he's just about still fits that age category, but I personally think that should be 21 and under.
Yeah.
And if
yeah.
that, and if it was, then it's Saka. But yeah. I think Trent and Saka, by far and away, deserve that more than Phil Foden.
Yeah.
If we're talking league performances this season, I don't think he, I think he might have started, what, 60% of City's games
yeah,
in the league. And yeah, Trent and Saka are mainstays in two good teams.
Saka has played every single minute. But every single game for the first time. He's the first Englishman to do that since 1993 or something like that.
Played 38 games.
Yeah.
And considering like this is the guy who gets kicked 17 times a game, innit? So
and apparently someone on this podcast brought up that he's always injured.
Who, me?
I don't know. So
no, it weren't me. I do think you need to monitor that, though. That can't happen again next season, him playing all of those games. Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean,
that
when your backup is
I
Pepe.
I didn't realise that.
Saka's like, all right, okay, I'll go through it.
Yeah, you know what? My knee's hanging off, but that Pepe will win. And
the fact that Bernardo Silva were nominated for Player of the Year, which is kind of mad to me. So,
but yeah, I think the biggest mister was Son.
Yeah,
for sure. I don't
understand
that.
He got nominated for the Premier League one though, didn't he?
No.
He didn't get nominated for anything.
No,
that's just ridiculous.
It's just bizarre. I don't know.
Hey, you're talking about the top scorer of the league along with Salah, like
Ward-Prowse. My God.
Ward-Prowse is a joke. Whatever you think of him as a player, he just shouldn't be on that.
Man scored three free kicks and that was.
Whoever put Conor Gallagher on there was tweaking. No. Do you think Salah should have won Player of the Year?
I think I understand that KDB had a better second half of the season, but Salah by far and away was getting best in the world shouts at one point this season. Let's not forget, we're not talking last season, we're talking this season.
That's
hat trick at Old Trafford, another two against them at Anfield.
Yeah,
top
goal
scorer, top assister. So he won.
Yeah,
Golden Boot.
Kane had the exact same thing last year and didn't get Player of the Year.
And KDB won it last. I don't know what it is.
KDB
but
winning it last year was a joke. He started. Yeah.
I know.
25 games.
That
was a joke.
So I mean, it's a conversation for another day. We could chat literally about these awards for a full hour.
Tanya's absolutely right. There's so much research, but I swear to God, thinking, I swear to God, like you think the Premier League was the last 3 weeks, and that's it.
Literally,
that's all they can remember.
All you need to do to get your name on these lists, etc., is stink it out first half of the season and the second half of the season show up.
Shots.
Eddie Nketiah. And Neville and Carragher put Kane in their team of the year, which is a joke. He only started playing after Man City game.
True. Yeah, that is true.
But don't get me started on them too. Well, more so Gary Neville. But so let's on to the Liverpool game. Needed to win to have any chance of lifting a title against a Wolves team who have been on holiday throughout the majority of the last 2 months and then decided to turn up.
Yeah, well, they proper turned
they
up.
They proper
Wolves.
Turned
yeah.
up. Listen, like, when I said 20 minutes ago or whenever it was that this was honestly a game and a half, and it genuinely was. Obviously, the 2 minutes in Wolves.
They missed a couple as well, to be fair.
They missed a good few. Like,
sure, yeah.
If we play anything like that on Saturday, it's peak. Because that was not the Liverpool I've seen play this season.
Did
obviously, we showed up second half.
He got injured.
He got in just before half time. He come off.
But
apparently, beautiful. Apparently, with Thiago. So at first, people thought it was his hamstring. It's not. Apparently, it's a niggle with his Achilles. So they're giving him a couple of days to prove his fitness. I don't think he will be fit. Yeah. But the fact that he's not ruled out yet for me is more positive.
Is Fabinho back?
He might be training this week.
But Van Dijk and Salah are back now.
Van Dijk and Salah are definitely back for it.
Okay.
I still think Liverpool are going to win, though, even if you got with injuries.
I don't know. The thing with Madrid is, I'll get back onto the Wolves game in a second, is that we saw it against PSG, Chelsea and City. Scoring against them isn't the issue. Right, it's then holding on to that lead and being careful.
It's when Ancelotti puts
work.
His hands on the tips and raises. Yeah.
literally,
you're like activate heritage mode.
and the thing is actually is that PSG, Chelsea, City, I personally back our defence over all three of those.
Yeah.
So we'll see. If we can get the first goal, we'll see what happens. But you know, it's like it's going to be a close game.
It's a final. Anything can happen.
Matip or Konate?
He's gone with Konate in the Champions League mainly and Matip in the league. So we'll see whether he carries that on. Konate, for the first time this season, he's made just under 30 starts. Actually had a bit of a shaky game against Wolves. Yeah, and I don't know whether that will come into Klopp's thinking or not.
That referee was tweaking when he went like that when Konate assaulted the guy from behind.
I can't call it, to be honest. To be honest with you, I'd be happy with either. I know that's an easy answer.
I think Matip has been your best defender this season.
In the league, for sure. He's not played much Champions League football. He played a lot in the group. But since the knockouts, it's been Konate, Van Dijk.
Yeah.
So back to the game. So were you thinking like 2 minutes in, you're like, oh my God, here we go. We're going to lose. Thought,
you see, the thing with this Liverpool team is going 1-0 down is not the end of the world.
Yeah, fair.
I was confident. I was genuinely confident we'd at least get a goal.
I don't know what that feels like.
if anything, it woke us up.
Yeah.
And the earlier the better, to be honest. It was better them getting that after 2 minutes than after 45, so, just before half time.
Correct me if I'm wrong. That is the fourth time that you've gone unbeaten at home recently.
In the last five years.
Van Dijk still hasn't lost a league game at Anfield.
That's crazy.
No, that is insane. That's stupid. What?
Which is mad.
It's like FIFA stats, isn't it? Like,
but then obviously, back onto the game, because I didn't realise how far in we are. What a game. Obviously, Tanya already mentioned the Thiago pass to Mane was unbelievable. I don't know if you've seen it, but it was
so
beautiful. Listen, that set the tone for us. Getting that goal when we did was perfect. And obviously, I know that the league was gone, etc., but it's still nice to win going into the Champions League final. And it wasn't a great finish from Mane, to be honest, but it done the job.
People were saying, did Salah actually think that was the league-winning goal? Or was he just celebrating?
Who knows? Because you've got to think, the way he celebrated, he obviously thought,
But when you lot were, when the crowd were like, they got the wrong information, was that before Salah's goal or after?
Before.
Oh, okay, cool. So he had the right thing. Yeah. And then there was a guy in the crowd who said 3-2, 3-2.
Yeah,
3-2.
And you can see his reaction. Yeah, I saw that.
That happened once before, you know, with Tottenham. Like, way back when we used to compete with them for top four. Gareth Bale scored in the last minute, but Arsenal were winning 1-0, and everyone thought it was 1-1. It was against Newcastle. And then Michael Dawson dropped to the ground celebrating like they had done it. And in the post-match interview, he goes, I thought we did it.
Oh, Dawson.
Hopefully those days come back soon. but yeah, I think, do you want to quickly talk about the FA Cup final? Because we didn't talk about it last week.
Yeah.
I mean, when you can stop texting, you know? It's not like we're podcasting or anything, but go on.
Big man.
Wow, man.
Chelsea have been like your hardest match this season, I think.
Oh, inject it. Mm-hmm. How many? Six losses in a row now for Chelsea at Wembley.
Six losses in a row for Mason Mount.
For Mason Mount. And three FA Cup finals in a row. Arsenal.
They've lost five FA Cup finals. Well, five cup finals at Wembley in a row. Mad.
Crazy.
It's great, man. I love it.
But you must be happy because I remember you saying what you've wanted that FA Cup for a while.
I said at the start of this season. All we're missing in terms of
kind of like a bit greedy.
The Klopp era. Huh?
You're a bit greedy. You have won everything, bro. Why do you want more?
No, but it's been a while since they've won that.
We hadn't won the FA Cup or the League Cup under Klopp.
Mate, all I want is top four, innit? Yeah, here goes, I want the Carabao Cup.
Yeah, but when it was Arsenal's era, you probably said, I want this season.
When it was Arsenal's era, I was still in school, bro.
So you had bragging rights on the playground, so I don't hear none of that from you.
Fair.
Playground time for me was hard work. Back in those days, bro.
It wasn't this hard, bro. I'm an adult right now, isn't it? Yeah, go on.
FA Cup, we're taking it back weeks now, but...
It was a tough game. Tough
again, we've had two cup finals against Chelsea this season, 2-0, but both games have been really good.
Yeah. And even the two league games as well, both draws.
Two league games, you've had the 2-2.
Why is it that you, well, I'm going to say struggle, but yeah, well, you technically is struggle.
Yeah, they're a bit of your...
Is it just because they're like similarly matched? Like they match
Liverpool,
up to your style?
Liverpool haven't beaten, if I'm like not mistaken, Liverpool haven't beaten any of the top four this season.
Beat City in the FA Cup semi-final.
But I meant more in the league. It's six draws, I think.
I can't even think who the top four is. Oh, yeah. So Spurs,
Chelsea,
we drew twice.
Yeah. And Man City.
Spurs, we drew twice with. Man City, yeah. City, we drew twice with. And Chelsea, we drew twice with.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
So,
maybe going next season, Klopp's going to be like, all right, that those are the games where we've obviously fumbled the title.
No, listen, I maintain, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, the games where we lost the league was Brighton, 2-0 up, at Anfield, drew 2-2, Brentford, 3-3, not a 3-3 game. Those two games, if we had just won one of those, particularly the Brighton one, 2-0 up, I'd put my house on us seeing that out.
Leicester missed a pen.
Leicester missed a pen, lost that game 1-0, didn't deserve to lose that. Just small things like that, that you don't realise early on in the season how much they might mean at the end of the season.
It's true,
but,
it's true.
If you lose on Saturday, what would you rate your season?
We've taken it further than any team in English history has taken it.
Yep.
So for that, the journey has been unbelievable. Got the two domestic cups. I don't know. I would give it a 7.
See,
because
that?
You can't
7, you know.
Seven.
And 2 cups in second place.
We've
got Arsenal fans calling it a 7. We finished 5th, bro.
What's second place? What does second place mean?
That's true. Eight,
but
I
mean, you played every possible game in it. It's like you
played every possible game.
Maximum.
The only reason I'd give it a 7 is because this season there's potential. I'd give it a 10 if we won the Champions League. Mm-hmm. Easy. The only reason I'd give it a 7 is just because it would just be, admittedly, just a bit of an anti-climax.
Yeah.
To what's been an amazing season. Mm. A season that we might not see ever again, where one club plays every single game available to them because they keep winning and winning and winning. In terms of performance levels and winning games of football, I'd give it a 10.
Yeah.
No matter what happens on Saturday, but in terms of that anticlimactic feeling, if we lost that, yeah.
Fair.
Who would you say, if you could, let's say like at points in a season, like the first third, the middle part, and then now the final third, who would you say have been, like, just name one player that you would single out for each period and just say, this player has been standout for me, like.
First third, Salah, easily. Second third, probably Matip. And third, Mane.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought you said Thiago.
Thiago has been unbelievable, but you can't take away from what Mane's done in the past two or three months.
That being said, I think Trent is a player of the season.
But the issue is that it's hard. You asked me the question, but honestly, I could have named it. I could have
even
named
Alisson
anyone.
As well.
Could have named Alisson, Thiago, Trent, Robertson. But I had. You asked me a question.
It's interesting with Mane because, like, when Luis Diaz was brought in, a lot of people were saying that's the end of Mane. But he's transformed himself into a striker who's just bagging the goals.
Can also say as well, like, first half of the season, Jota was middle part of the season.
Yeah,
Jota.
But that's the quality of Liverpool. Like, how many players are just having this performance? That's why I asked him the question, just to see
Diaz is signing the season for me.
Diaz signing the season, and listen, he hasn't even had a pre-season just yet. So next season, I think it's scary.
For me, Kulusevski.
Piss off.
Diaz, you know what? To be honest, they're both like this. I'd say so.
One is in good form. One is in good form, and it's,
you know, Kulusevski's had 13 goal contributions. You know,
good for him.
Just saying.
Tottenham have scored about 65 million goals in the last 7 games, isn't it? So, Diaz is a top quality world class player. Kulusevski is shit in ginger.
No, I wouldn't go that far, but you got to think.
I told you, I've got a 1 year period. Yeah, for this.
No, but
Kulusevski,
you know how disappointed
agenda.
I was. We didn't get Diaz. But now period. I'm like, you know what?
Of course, the one thing I'd say about that, the one reason I'd say Diaz has been more impressive. Well, not the one reason, but you got to think he's playing every 3 days. Yeah, Kulusevski has been playing once, every week.
Football.
I think Diaz makes more impact on the game outside of goals and assists.
He's not ginger as well.
Way more.
Wow.
If we have any listeners that are ginger, those are the views of Abdi and Abdi only. Just to clarify.
I want the smoke, you know.
No, do press you know what it is? Button. I just think in terms of like...
I don't know which one.
In terms of changing our season, I think Kulusevski and he's been a top signing.
Your same season was changed because Harry Kane started playing. Yeah,
no, it's
that's
not.
It.
I mean,
Son. Son first half of the season.
Yeah, Son's been good the whole year. Son been good, but he wasn't enough to carry you the whole year.
Yeah, but my point is, when have we ever had like someone on that right hand side that can contribute with goals and assists? We've literally just been Kane's on,
no,
and now Kulusevski.
Lamella. Are we talking about Christian Eriksen? He's playing on the right.
Is this really coming from you right now? You've got Kepa, bro.
He's well, listen, I'm not saying my team are better. Kulusevski.
I can't believe you're criticizing.
It is Kane and Son FC, and that's it.
But
yeah?
Also, Kulusevski doesn't play where Nketiah plays. So
no,
you're, that's
I know,
a new point.
But I'm just.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The
Nketiah will be a better right winger than him, bruv. Listen, Eriksen used to play right wing for you. Eriksen used to play right wing for you, and he's not even as close as Eriksen, so don't chat.
Okay, so
it's one season.
I feel it's half a season, but half I think yeah, it's a perfect opportunity to talk about Spurs.
Champions!
I said it months and months ago when we
are
always
you a
ask.
Spurs fan?
Do you think?
Are you
no,
a Spurs
no, no.
Fan?
Okay. Are you gonna let me speak?
Well, continue.
Are you gonna let me speak? Yes or no?
Well. You started
saying your piece.
No, I'm just saying, yeah, like I said it earlier on, you always ask me, do you think you can get top four? Do you think you can get top four? I said no, because we don't score enough goals. That's the difference. Everyone, like, I mean, a lot Tottenham, I give them the credit because in the last 10 games, I think they won 8, drew 1, lost 1, or something like that. Or lost 11 games, yeah. So I think they drew against Brentford and Liverpool, lost to Brighton, and won the rest. Yeah. So with us, though, when we were at 11, after the Leicester game where we were both really happy and we were like 6 points clear or something, we said we've got 11 cup finals left. Since then, we've lost 6 games out of our last 11. Yeah?
Not good enough.
And also, you look at the goals. Look at Tottenham's goal scorers, yeah? Kane and Son both got 15 plus this season. Son's gone 22. Kane's got, what, 15, 16?
23 like. For Son.
Well, yeah, 23.
Yeah,
so Arsenal strikers, we've got 5 for Nketiah, 4 for Lacazette, and well, I guess
and
if
Gabriel
you
got 6 goals.
Yeah, Gabriel got more goals than our main striker. I said it, his goals is your biggest currency, regardless of whatever the rest of your team has done. And then on top of that as well, in the last 11 games, Antonio Conte has made the team quite functional. So in the last 28 games, they've conceded 24 goals, which is ridiculous. So he's made the team quite functional.
I think another issue, I think what else we've got is experienced players. And I think that's why you kind of bottled the top four.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you've got
absolutely
a young squad. And I think...
Yeah, we ran out of gas.
It's a massive... Because the thing is, yeah, you beat us.
They're not used to being in that situation.
Tottenham did beat us 3-0. Mm. And after that game, we still had it in our hands. So it's... as much as Tottenham, they got... Yeah. Well, they got top four, so they deserve it. There's no doubt about it. They deserve it. But as much as, you know, people want to give credit to Tottenham and Antonio Conte and all that and their goal scorers... But Arsenal bottled it. That's why Tottenham were in the top four. Arsenal threw it away multiple times. We had a lead. We lost 3 in a row. We somehow got back in it.
We still need to capitalise on that.
Yeah,
though,
it's true.
And that's, I didn't think we would, in all honesty.
It's true. I mean, like, on Sunday, I was resigned, obviously. So I didn't really, like... I was okay, because when you go to the ground, you sort of feel a bit
But come on,
better.
That's an Arsenal
But on
fan.
Monday against Newcastle, I lost my head. Like, I was... I should have been in jail.
Fan, there must have been a part of you that thought... Spurs could still bottle it. There's just always that.
Not against Norwich.
Even me as a neutral in that particular race.
I was
race.
Worried. I just thought, oh, okay, Norwich are relegated.
No, there was no chance.
But,
no
you know,
chance.
It's their last home game. Nah. I just thought, but I was silly to think that. I was absolutely
you went,
silly
you went
to
on
think
5-0,
that.
You know, so.
I just think it's been an incredible.
Could have been 20-0.
Incredible achievement.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Also, yeah, I said it because it's because of your forward, but it's also content as well. Like, you have a better manager, you're better forward. And I think really that's the difference between.
And look, so. I have to respect the club for being ambitious and sacking Nuno when they did, right? And getting in Antonio Conte, who I do think has been a game changer. They bought 2 signings in January who, for me, have contributed to us getting top four. Bentancourt, I know you don't really rate him, Abdi.
Expensive Winks and Lamella, that's it.
Right, but they've been very impactful for us.
They're
and
just
I think
functional, that's the thing.
It's interesting that we're the ones that made the signings in January. You guys, I don't think you did enough in January,
We let go a lot of players and signed no one.
We didn't do anything.
We didn't do anything.
You know, if you had actually bought in a couple additions, I think you could have got top four as well. Yeah. That's another thing that let you down.
Yeah. I think, yeah, centre mid and striker is where we should have done.
And the thing is, Arteta, he said it at the start of the window. He said, we're short. And he didn't get anyone.
I always say Arteta's not good enough. I'm telling you this now. I think if you had Conte, you would have got top four. You wouldn't have bottled it.
I do think it was stupid giving him the contract before the season ended.
Yeah, so stupid.
That, I just, even announcing it, could have waited until the end of the season, whether he signed it or not. I don't know. I think it's been, what, 3 years now?
Mm-hmm.
Eighth, fifth.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, the first eighth was a mixture of him and Emery. It was a cocktail.
Cool, but yeah, but just as far as statistics go, it was eighth, fifth. First one was a bit
sacked.
Of a cocktail.
I'm sorry.
Because obviously, I'm from the outside looking in, and I think one of his biggest mistakes, and you've just covered this, is thinking in January this squad has enough to get me over the line. I don't know where he got that thought from, and who's advising him, But for me, that was the biggest mistake he's made so far in his Arsenal career.
Yeah, I just think, like, you know, obviously there were periods of this season where we were good and we were on good runs. And obviously we weren't really criticising Arteta because I've been nothing but critical about Arteta for the best part of 2 years. But when you bottle it in this way, you have to go back to see how it's been over the last 3 years. You have to look at it. You look, and I don't criticise Arteta because of any unfortunate circumstances like Partey and Tierney and Tomiyasu getting injured. I criticise him for his decisions. I criticise for the lack of forward signing since he's been here. Like, really, who's he bought? Has he bought a forward? No, he hasn't bought anyone. And he's just gone, he's stocked up on defenders. We've been terrible at the back for the last 10, 11 games, conceding left, right and centre. And the fact that we've lost the top four now is direct result of his decisions. You know, and we've only drawn 3 games this season, you know. We've lost 13.
That is crazy.
Arteta has an inability of salvaging a point when you're losing. If we're behind at half time, forget about it. Like, don't even watch the game. The second half is pointless because we can't salvage it. And he's shown it on multiple occasions, yeah, that his decisions, his direct decisions, have cost the team. Obviously, you've got guys like Tomiyasu, Tierney and Partey who are injury prone since they've been here. Are the replacements for them. Look at them. Like, how much better would we have been if we had the likes of, you know, Lucas Torreira instead of Elneny, or like Maitland-Niles covering the fullback position.
Or Saliba instead of...
I'm not talking about Guendouzi. I don't want to know Guendouzi stuff. But I mean, Saliba instead of Rob Holding. But like, we're stuck with guys like Cedric because they listen to Arteta's, you know, instructions. Rob Holding, who's costing us the games, trying to act like a tough man and trying to get tight to Son when, like, you know, Son can outrun you with his eyes closed. And then you've got Nuno Tavares, who, by the way, he's got behaviour issues. I was watching him at the weekend thinking, you must have been on the naughty step your whole life. Like, he's an idiot. But yeah, I guess that's why I'm just like, I'm super disappointed because we had it in our hands and we threw it away.
I got a couple of...
I love how this is all about Arsenal.
I'm drawing you in now. I've got a couple of questions that will relate to the three of you. Might be slightly tougher for the Arsenal duo, but questions are questions and I've got to ask them.
Stop hitting me with your pen.
First one is, do you feel like... This one's not really the tough one. The tough one's coming next. But do you feel like players like Jesus, etc., do you feel like that those links now will die down because you haven't secured Champions League football? Do you feel like the calibre of player you can attract has gone down a level? And absolutely. Tanya, do you think the calibre has gone up now
for who you can attract in the summer? Think Champions League was massive for both of us. Both of us. I think if Arsenal got it, that would have been devastation for us. And I think now that we've got it, I'm really happy. I think it means that Conte will stay. I think Kane was going to stay anyway because the ship has sailed now with Man City. Why is he going to go United? And I think having a world-class manager, Champions League football on top of that, I think it puts us in a good position. Financially as well, the money that we're going to make from being in the Champions League, I think it can help us attract players. But I have also said on here before, I think a club like Arsenal are always going to attract decent players just because of their history. And, you know, you've proven that you've signed players like Aubameyang when you was in Europa League. It can happen, but I think it is going to be difficult. But players like Jesus, I think, will still go to Arsenal because he wants regular football.
So where does this leave you then?
So basically, I have a slightly different opinion than Abdi. Whereby, like, obviously you said it before, the last two seasons we finished eighth. I never, and I said it from the first day of the season, I did not think we'd get top four or even challenge for it. So to challenge for it gave me hope that maybe that's what made me disappointed. That because they gave me hope, because I never had hope from the start of the season. You can rewind it and you can hear me say that I don't think we're going to get top four. I spent the whole time telling you the Tottenham versus Arsenal game meant nothing. Remember when we beat you? And I said it means nothing and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I say all of that to say is that fifth for this team, it's a young team, I think is where we're at. I honestly believe that I don't agree with it. Where is it overachievement? Where people are saying it's overachievement. It's not an overachievement. For this young, talented group of players, I think that's where we're at. I think if we had gone to top four, we would have had to really spend a lot of money upgrading certain areas to really even compete. Because
can I just say something on that?
Yeah.
I get where you're coming from, but I disagree because we threw it away in a spectacular fashion.
I agree that we threw it away.
We were the caliber, but we just gave us.
I agree that we threw it away, but I just think they ran out of gas, and I just think that for me personally, like from looking at this team, and obviously we've like shipped a lot of players out, and we've got a really thin squad. If we're in the Champions League, I don't think we'd have survived the season. I don't think we'd have been anywhere near like.
I just think though. To be this song without Champions League for Arsenal.
No, it's a failure. No. But crazy. What I'm saying, like, from when the project, this new project started with Arteta, and he's gone out and he's thrown it, like, he's literally given players away. Like, these guys, they need to go. And we've got a young core of players who have probably never had to handle this pressure. And when you have, like, what? Let's be real, yeah. You've got three experienced players there who have probably dealt with that pressure. You're talking about Partey. I don't know if you want to put Xhaka in there, and like Lacazette. Like, those are our three most experienced players. And them three on the pitch have to guide a whole host of like young players. It was a recipe for disaster. Obviously, like in January, we never strengthened, which was a massive oversight, in my opinion, like Abdi's already said. So I think Tanya's right. I think we can still attract players in the summer. I don't think we're going to get the type of players that maybe he thought that we, like, for example, in the, like a striker, if you wanted to go out against a star striker, then obviously I think like we can't do that anymore.
I think
Gabriel Jesus is probably the best that we can do right now. Like, and it's a massive upgrade on Lacazette and Nketiah. And I think he will actually transform our striking because, like, he's more dynamic. He's very good technically.
Yeah, he's versatile, yeah.
And
if we sign Tielemans, I'm not coming on the podcast after.
Sorry, Tanya, no, but just okay. I think like I do think that this squad is probably ended up where it should have been.
I really want to agree with you.
I get that we were there. But I think that would have been an overachievement.
But do you not think... See, for me, you were 4 points ahead, right?
Yeah.
3 games to go. I thought, personally, Arteta was naive when you played us. For me, I would have gone there and I just would have stunk the place out. Try and get a draw. I think you're capable of doing that, right?
You did get a very, very fortunate penalty.
Look, these things happen, but I still think...
And that red card as well. Like,
Arteta, no, the red was red.
No, what I'm saying, it was foolish. I'm not saying it wasn't a red card.
It wasn't Arteta's fault, but again, as a manager, discipline him. Like, why is he getting all these... Like, these players getting red cards. The manager, in some ways, does have to look at himself in that respect, right? And then you had Newcastle, who, you know...
That's the most unforgivable thing Arteta has done.
That is just crazy.
That game, I'll never... Even if we win the Champions League on Rotterdam, I'll never forget that game.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they ran out of gas. The young players ran out of gas. By that point, now you're just looking. We have no experience. Partey's injured. Like I said, the captain of the club can't even get in the team. And then you're looking at what? So what? The players are meant to respect Rob Holding. But let's be real. Like,
the issue is though, is that this was your big chance. One game a week.
No, 100%.
Next season, you're going to be playing Thursday, Sunday. If you ran out of gas playing one game a week, how are you going to fare next season playing two a week?
I 100% hear what you're saying, but it's the how thin the squad is. We barely have a squad. And
the director's of his decision.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I've never said that I abstain from blaming him or anything like that. What I'm trying to say is that we have a really thin squad, and the fact that they've run out of gas... It's just testament to the fact that how thin, like, Saka's never had to play 38 games, every game of the season, blah, blah, blah. And I completely understand. And it, in some ways, it is a failure, but.
I think it is a massive failure. I think Arteta has failed.
Okay, but I wasn't finished, but thanks.
Bruv, your point was going on for 2 hours, man. We're going to continue. Sorry.
No, I think it's a failure. I just think, I understand what you're saying, Junior. You didn't expect to be in this position. I didn't expect Spurs to be in this position, but. When you look at the context of the season, you had points, games in hand. I think you've got to be disappointed as an Arsenal fan.
But games in hand, we already had that conversation. It's better to have points on the board than games in hand. We had the points on the board, and when we played the games, we lost them. So what's the point?
I don't know. I
think this crunch point of the season, 11 games ago, we lost 6. So that's just...
For me, I will never rate Arteta. I just don't. I think he deserves credit for this season, but I just think Arsenal Football Club...
If you keep,
You keep having a go at us on Twitter.
I'll swear I'm going to abuse you.
Listen, you're not the only Arsenal fans I know, you know. That's what all
she's
the
tweeting, we've
shameless...
got Super Mikata and music emojis.
It's all the shameless Arsenal fans. I know some deluded Arsenal fans.
I was like, punch my phone, you know.
Right, just quickly, and then we'll move on because we're running out of time. But I said I had two questions. The second one is obviously going to be tougher for you lot. The big man. Don't worry about my pen, innit? Second one's going to be a little bit tougher for the Arsenal duo, but I saw this and I thought I've got to raise it again, not to be that guy. I'm actually very interested to hear what you've got to say, and correct me if I'm wrong with this fact as well. Sixth season in a row Spurs have finished above Arsenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What? Wow. How does that make you feel? Like, what is?
It's becoming normal now, isn't it? Like, this year I genuinely thought we would finish above them but I just thought the difference was forwards. I thought if Tottenham, we had a lead and we threw it away twice. Like not even twice, like multiple times we've thrown away a lead we had against Tottenham. I was worried about them even when people had Man United in the conversation. I wasn't really worried, but I just thought Tottenham were the worry because, like I said, they've got world class manager, two world class forwards, and that's the difference, you know. It's unacceptable, man. We grew up on for most of my life we never finished below Tottenham, you know, and now we're here. Except in fifth, finishing below them again, especially the way we threw it away. And that's why, like, for me, with Arteta, like, although, like, we've had minimal progress this season, like, mainly because of the progress of the young players, but I just can't get by the fact that, like, he's been here 3 years, spent a ton of money, and we're not at where we need to be. Like, when Willian came, which was last season, he said Arteta will get us in the Champions League.
Didn't he say within three years I want to win the Champions League? That's what he said when he signed the Arsenal contract.
He's obviously mental, isn't he? So, but I just feel like there's too much. I don't see a future with Arteta. Like, I can't see a progression with Arteta. So I am on the record. I will say I do think we need a change of manager. Mm. I don't think we're going to get a change of manager. So I
was just
try
about
and support
to say
the
this.
Team as much
and
possible.
I'm not looking to cut you up, no, but I was just about to say that I don't see Arsenal without Arteta next season. But if you're the director, who would you be looking at bringing in?
If he starts off badly, he's in trouble, I think.
That's a good question. I think I'll just look for a nice, like a different coach, like someone like. I like Graham Potter. I like there's the sporting manager who's actually been linked to what's the team? What's the name? PSG actually. What's his name? Ruben Amorim. He's been linked to PSG. I'd also look at the likes of Zidane as well. Like I think he's all.
Yeah,
got,
I think
he's,
you would need that.
Something.
Caliber.
Something like that. Someone who can help attract bigger players, better players. Someone who the players will look up to and respect. I don't think he's the greatest tactician, but he knows how to like. Get the best out of good players, you know. But with Arteta, it's just like, too many of his decisions are questionable and I can't get behind it. But yeah, let's stop talking about football anymore.
No, but as a Spurs fan, yeah, my last two pence, right, I'm very excited for next season. And
I'm very worried.
I said it at the beginning of the podcast, I'm going to be very deluded next season. I'm hearing positive things. I'm hearing that Enoch are going to invest an extra 150 million. That's come out today.
Daniel Levy.
I'm hearing that they are fully behind Conte. They're willing to give him what he wants. Obviously, look, we have to see what happens. I've seen this before. Right,
literally,
we
two
never back managers.
Now the thing with Conte is that he's not gassing. If you don't back him in the summer, he will go.
But I'm hearing Alistair Gould, right, who is very reliable. He has said they are doing it. They are backing this
they
manager.
They have to.
So I'm very, you know, positive.
Where do Tottenham need to improve?
I need a trophy, man.
No, I mean in your team. Like,
where do we need to improve?
Yeah.
I think...
Yeah, you need to improve in your trophy cabinet, yeah.
I still think we need more attacking options because we're not going to have one game a week next season. Now it's going to be Champions League. No, but we can't play Kane and Son in Champions League and Premier League. We need other attacking options so we can rotate. I think we need another defender.
Centre mid would be the top of my list.
New wing backs as well. Yeah, left back and right back.
I think Doherty comes back in next season strong and holds that right wing back role. We're looking at what he did for 6 weeks before he got injured, he was one of your best players.
No, he was, but I just think long term, I would ideally like a better replacement because Doherty's like 28.
Of course,
but
I just think the issue with bringing in a right wing back, a left wing back, you want. Yeah. How many new players are you willing to fit into this team?
Well, Conte wants six. That's the ask. He wants six new players.
Tottenham are going to sign Fraser Forster, apparently.
you know what?
Oh, I saw that.
I think that's
done already.
It's done. I'm not against that at all because for me, Gallini has been a terrible backup.
What was the point of this guy?
What was the point? No, he's not playing. He's going back to Atalanta.
Was he on loan?
I think, yeah, he was on loan. Foster, he's experienced. I think we need that. Wait, he's not English, is he? Is Fraser Foster English?
Well, yeah, he is.
I think it's about the homegrown quota as well. But listen, he'll probably play in the cup games. I don't mind.
You know, with these new players, you're going to count. Like he said, he wants 60 players. Is he going to count these players that you brought in on loan, like Bentancur and Kulusevski and Romero?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest,
are they counted as new players or are they just going to be?
No, I think it's 6 additional.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think we need to offload players. Like, I don't know what's happening with Ndombele. I think he might still come back.
Yeah, because Leon don't want him.
So, and obviously we've still got Lo Celso, players like Winks, Moura, Bergwijn.
They emptied out their squad in January, but they brought players in. Imagine that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But let's get on to some relegation talk.
Yeah, let's move on.
Because it was interesting and you got your wish.
Burnley. Oh, well done. Can we get a round of which one's a round of applause?
The yellow one.
I shouldn't have clapped my hand, my arm hurts now.
Yeah, so Brentford played Leeds and Burnley played Newcastle. Leeds needed to better Burnley's result.
Mm-hmm.
Burnley could have drawn or won. And if they bettered Leeds' result, they would have stayed up. So it was in their hands, and obviously they're playing the resurgent Newcastle. And like,
yeah,
what was Collins thinking with the handball? Like, that is one of the dumbest decisions a player has made all season.
Yeah,
God, he literally is it really that bad?
Like, it was a corner, and like it's gone past, he's marking. I can't remember who he was next to.
Callum Wilson,
and then the ball comes over his arm, and then Callum Wilson's like gonna like chest it or whatever, and he just puts his hands out.
Oh my!
He probably had a bit on it, barely going down in it.
Like that's
he's
like,
definitely got a release.
That is ridiculous.
Like that's like a rush of blood to the head.
Yeah,
and he's gone and cost his team like major.
I think their fate. Although like I was happy he was gone, but their fate was sealed when they got rid of Sean Dyche.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. I agree with what Roy Keane said. Stupid decision.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, especially at that point in the season, like what they had 6-7 games
ridiculous.
To go, and they got rid of the guy who's an expert at keeping them up.
And they had like major games in hand as well. Like yeah. they had,
and especially like you know Leeds like they. They came close. Leeds' goal difference here was -37, the worst in the league. Yeah, and Burnley, their goal difference was -19. So Burnley, I think it is purely down to the fact that no Sean Dyche. Losing games where they probably would have got a point under Sean Dyche. And if they did that, they would have still been in this league as well because Leeds looked like a shambles, even you know the fact that they were getting points. I don't think this was, like everyone was talking about, oh, Harrison saved Leeds, Harrison scored... I think they survived last week when Strouk scored that last minute equaliser.
That Gelhardt skill was fantastic.
Oh, good goal! Yeah. Mm. I mean, but those celebrations were quite nice as well. Jesse Marsh, he was like he rugby tackled his assistant.
Do you think they'll keep him as manager?
Yeah, I think so. I think he kept them up. You know, they were in danger of going down.
Yeah, I think he'll get sacked next season. I don't see Leeds.
Yeah,
like
I don't.
Depending on who they bring in, but like
he'll get sacked just in time for the playoffs.
Their recruitment. We've talked about recruitment for some teams. It is not very good.
No.
Like Junior Firpo is one of the worst defenders.
Awful players in the
league. And
I was hoping they go down because they have more better players that I would want.
Better players than that. But Rafinha had that release clause. If Leeds went down,
I still think he's
going
to go though. Isn't it?
What was the release clause?
Something silly. Yeah, like
25.
And play, he's worth at least double that.
Yeah.
And obviously Calvin Phillips, he can play for a lot of teams as well.
But I don't know. When going into the game, I did fear for Burnley because I didn't see them beating Newcastle.
No, Callum Wilson, he's back now. Scored three goals in two games.
I can't stand that guy, honestly, the most bizarre agendas.
I want to hear.
Free goals. He scored two goals.
No, do you know what it is? It's something he said.
Ben White scored an own goal.
Sorry, Michael.
It was something he said after a Spurs game, like. He was really cocky about that. I remember it wasn't even really a penalty. It was an Eric Dyer incident.
The one that was a ridiculous penalty they get. Well, it's not his fault, the penalty, the referee
gave.
Yeah,
but I just didn't like the smug look on his face.
And well, from then, that's it.
Are you going to take back your agenda against Calvert-Lewin? No, he's expressed why he's been
bad. No, absolutely not. I'm not. The thing is, I saw that we get him, I swear to God, I do not rate
Did you not see his Instagram post?
What was it?
He was talking about how he's struggling with mental health.
Okay. Well, you think that's down to me?
hey, he hasn't been getting much abuse from many other people.
Listen, I'm sorry to hear that, but...
Yeah, and by the way, I'm completely off that train because he was shambolic.
I told you, because he's not a good footballer.
So you just drew Tanya out just to...
Exactly.
Just for fun, and then you know
and
what?
And to be honest, I, I wanted Everton to get relegated, you know.
Yeah, I did as well. I did as well. Especially when you see
that
guy.
Why does that make you a bad person? You've been crying for Burnley to be relegated for the longest time.
No, and I just hate, because Abdi was right, I just hate how now it's like, oh, they've had a good season and it was set. I mean, look, celebration.
Good season?
No, but like, they're obviously celebrating the fact that they survived. Yeah. But it's like, you've been shocking.
The absolute opposite of a good season.
Literally.
And like, Frank Lampard, I just can't stand him. And
he took Derby from 6th to 6th, lost the player final. Chelsea from 4th to 4th, spent 200 million, got sacked. Then 16th to 16th with Everton, bought in a bunch of players in January who have all been terrible. Oh my God, can we talk about Dele Alli, bruv? Because that's the only thing I enjoyed at the weekend. Is every time he touched the ball,
he was whispering something in Xhaka's ear, though. I don't know what.
I blew my brains out booing him, innit? So it's just amazing.
Oh, God, he must have got abused.
Nah,
oh
he stunk
God.
The place
he
out.
Is awful. He is a horrible. I've never seen a fall from grace like that in my life. Like, he was good.
That's
like, he was two time young players a year.
Bro, do him a service. He was better than good.
Yeah, he was.
There's no that he genuinely was, but.
But, like, now he can't even kick a ball. Like, literally, there was a moment where the ball was in the air and he went to volley.
He tried to volley it, pass it
to someone else, and the ball looped up and went straight to Elneny. The whole crowd
I just think he
doesn't love football anymore. In all honesty, I think ever since he's got like his clothing line and stuff.
But
you sound like Roy Keane, bro.
He did.
No, but I don't even want to sound like Roy Keane. But it's true.
How dare he have an interest outside of football?
He should just sit at home, wait for the next game.
The one thing he has done for Everton though was, I think it was Palace the game before he come on and completely changed the game. But that's the only he was on the pitch for 20 minutes.
That's the only thing he's done in 2 seasons.
He's honestly championship.
Do you see Burnley coming back up?
You know what?
They've got like twelve players out of contract.
Most of that squad's gone. Someone's Leicester and Everton are sniffing over Tarkowski,
and he goes on a free.
Be a decent signing. It would be better than decent
McNeil
on a free.
I'd take, man.
McNeil will go. I've
that
always
said
I like
you
McNeil.
Like McNeil
and Pope as well.
McNeil's Cornet will go.
Zero
Pope
goals this
go.
Season, McNeil.
Oh, okay.
Zero goals.
Yeah.
Not.
This is a bit concerning.
But I mean, playing under Sean Dyche.
Cornet scored like 6 or 7 goals.
You played Cornet up top. He played McNeil on the right, and
he played in midfield in this game.
Most of his duties were defensive.
McNeil played in midfield against Tottenham. I watched that. Yeah.
Rest
in peace, Burnley.
To answer your question, whoever's question it was, I actually don't see them bouncing back up.
I don't see them.
We could see like a bit of a Leeds, not to say that, obviously not the size of Leeds, but where Leeds struggled to get back into the Prem for so long.
Mm-hmm. It's like,
I mean, we'll see. They could bounce back up next season. I look like an idiot. But
I just hope we don't see Norwich and Watford again.
There should be a soft ban on that.
We're going to see Norwich and Watford again.
I don't want to see Watford. Definitely don't see Watford. Norwich, I think, is kind of inevitable, to be honest. This is like, well, at least Norwich is like a guarantee 6 points for everyone next season.
All right. Well, no one cares about the rest. Okay.
I have these words.
I just want to shout out to Bruno Fernandes, just quick. James Madison, yeah? Didn't get in the England squad.
We said this on the way. Yeah.
You know, this season he finished with 18 goals, 12 assists, yeah?
Yeah, that's nuts. I'm sorry. That's nuts.
And not in the English squad.
How
like Conor Gallagher. Conor Gallagher apparently hasn't done, like, not a goal or assist
know,
in the last
know,
20 odd games.
Yeah,
or
even James Ward-Prowse, he should be in there over one of those two. I understand Gallagher being in there because Gallagher will probably be a fixture of that England squad for years to come. Ward-Prowse, however. Madison should have been in there.
Yeah.
No, man, justice for Eric Dier. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Maguire got in, so yeah. Well, at least we didn't get no Tyrone
and
Mings.
Cody as well.
Yeah,
Tyrone Mings as well. He's the one who gave away the goal for
Tyrone Mings is shambolic. I forgot to mention that.
So I have a bit of a quiz here. So it's going to go through like the different months of the season. It's really short, it's not anything long. So just play like individually.
Next time, just run it by me before you do quiz.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't know how we're going to do this, but don't just answer.
Just do the questions, we'll figure out.
Yeah. But I don't want you lot answering in front of each other. Like, okay. Just make a signal and then whoever does it first can answer that question.
Okay.
Just to let people know, I suffer from memory loss.
So in August,
damn.
Salah became the first player to what?
Score a hat trick at Old Trafford in the Prem.
I don't know the answer.
In August. So, like, think first game week. Salah became the first.
Player to score on the opening day 5 seasons in a row.
Exactly.
Jeez, well done, Mark.
Wood scored.
Optimark, come on.
Wood scored for Burnley against Leeds, but what was the significance of his goal?
He used to play for Leeds.
No.
Okay, cool. And then.
What was the significance? What would be the significance of his goal?
Probably could be anything.
Was it his, his 50th goal?
No. Wood with 50 goals.
First goal outside the box.
No. Think Premier League.
He scored it with his dick.
Oh.
I don't know, bro. What's the.
Okay, it was the 30,000th Premier League goal in history.
Ah.
In September.
You got this all off an Instagram post, innit?
No.
That's why you're struggling to phrase the question.
No. Chelsea became the second team to what? Bro, in the Premier League history.
Give
in
us
September.
A better hint.
They after Man United were the first team to do this. Chelsea became the second team to what?
Win 10,000 games.
You're close.
10,000 points.
I mean, it's not 10,000.
5,000 points.
Okay, win 600 games.
Ah, okay.
You know, these are not easy questions to just randomly say Chelsea won their 600 game in September.
Even you know it. You can't just guess it. You have to know.
All right, okay, but.
As I say, Mark, what did Liverpool do this weekend, first time ever? He can't.
Continue, Junior.
Go on.
Anyway, Spurs were the first team since Everton in 1993 to what? Like, this is the start of the season. What did Spurs do at the start of the season?
Win their first three games and then lose their next three.
Exactly.
Oh,
that's so difficult. You either know or you don't know.
I knew it, though.
So in October.
No, don't sound like that.
Yeah, you do. Man United lost 5-0 to Liverpool, but. They did something in the first half for the first time in history, in Premier League history.
4-0
conceded
down.
4-0 down, yeah.
I'm taking a point for that.
Chelsea beat Newcastle 3-0 in September. Jorginho became the first player to have how many consecutive Premier League goals come from the penalty spot?
I'm going to say 11, because that name just, that number rings. Yeah, I remember seeing this.
Oh,
yeah. I do remember
mark.
Seeing that.
In November.
You know it's a hard question.
No. No, it's not a hard question.
Is it in Portuguese?
No.
Okay. Why are you struggling? Just read the question.
No, because it's not a question. It's phrases, and
it's
trying.
It's an Instagram post, like I was.
It's
like,
not an Instagram post.
Go on, continue.
Man United lost 4-1 to Watford, but
shambolic. You forget how shambolic their season's been.
But this was the first time they lost to a what?
Newly promoted club.
Exactly, in the Premier League history. In December, Ronaldo scored his 800th goal for club and country. Who did they score it against?
Arsenal.
It was against Arsenal. Moyes became the fourth manager to reach 600 Premier League matches. Who is he behind? There's three managers he's behind.
Ferguson, Wenger.
Mourinho. Allardyce.
Nope. Ooh.
Think Tanya.
Harry Redknapp. Why is he your uncle sign?
Love Harry Redknapp. He wants to be incredible.
You know what? That actually worked
bad. Yeah, that's pretty good.
That worked bad.
Love him. Kane's, that's my manager, man.
Kane scored. This is a two-parter. Kane scored on Boxing Day. He holds the record with someone else of scoring on Boxing Day. How many goals and who does he hold the record with?
Oh, how many goals?
Boxing Day, Kane. All right, I'm going to say...
Henry.
It's not Henry.
Alan Shearer.
I'll give you a clue. It's a former Liverpool player.
Robbie Fowler.
It is Robbie Fowler. But how many goals is it?
How many boxing days has he played in? Probably. I'm going to say about 9.
Correct.
9?
Because you've got to work out. There's one boxing day a year. Yeah. He's not been around for, like, damn. Talking a 10-year career for Kane.
And
so
also,
far.
don't be so impressed. He just guessed, bro.
No, bro.
No, that was good. He thought about that.
I did some unofficial working out in my head.
Every boxing day?
Then whoever said 17 would have been quite close, and Junior would have said that was quite close.
I mean, you guessed as much as I did.
Anyway, no. Spurs beat Leicester 3-2 despite trailing at in the 94th minute. 94-52 is the correct one, but they beat a famous record. Who held that record?
Wait, you're gonna have to
trailing.
Start again. There.
Okay, so Spurs beat Leicester 3-2 despite trailing in the 94th and 52nd. They beat someone's famous record.
Is it Man City against QPR?
It is Man City against
QPR.
Just to say, I listened to that back, I said City first.
Yeah, you did.
I'm joking. We just spotted, by the way. It's all love.
You left me hanging for a bit, though.
In February, there was a record, a Spurs record, but it's a Premier League. It was by Spurs players. And it's a Premier League record. Who broke the record and what is the record? It was a mad talking point in February.
Mate, I missed that.
Okay, so
was it a goal contribution?
It is goal. Yes.
Lampard and Drogba.
I got one, yay.
I like that.
Okay, Ivan Toney scored a hat-trick against Norwich, and Brentford became the 40th... Well, I'll just tell you this one. The 40th team to boast a Premier League hat-trick, but... Then there's a space there. So they became the 40th team who scored a Premier League hat trick, but they are the only team to what? In the Premier League?
Brentford?
Yeah, Brentford.
40th team to score a hat trick.
Yeah, so they became the 40th Premier League team to score a hat trick, but they're the only team to have never what?
I have no idea.
I'm not sure. Actually, I can't remember the score in that game, but the only thing I could think of that makes sense is not winning the game.
No, that's not correct. Think about it. So they scored a hat trick. Ivan Toney scored a hat trick, but Brentford have never
won the Premier League.
that is true, but that's not the answer. Brentford have never conceded a hat trick.
They've been in the Premier League for one season.
That's true. Okay, but you didn't answer the question.
But they're not the only team who's not conceded a hat trick.
Who hasn't conceded a hat trick?
Teams in the Championship.
All right. Yeah. Van Dijk set a new record of how many matches for one club without losing?
158.
I know this, but I can't get it done on the field.
But this was in March, so...
Give me a ballpark.
You give yourself a ballpark.
I'm not going to get it then. We're just going to sit here in silence.
It was in 90-something.
It was 60.
60.
Yeah, 60.
Was that just home game? What do you mean? Rephrase the question. Say that again.
Van Dijk set a new record of... How many matches for one club without losing?
Oh, that must be home. That must be the home record I mentioned.
I don't know. It just says
he's been here for three, four
in March. In March, it says it doesn't say home
games. You can check your stats, man.
Anyway. Ronaldo reached how many goals in April? Is with his 60th career hat trick. How many Premier League goals?
League goals, okay.
100.
So he finished
it
on
100. Yeah.
All right, cool. I thought you meant this season. I was gonna say he finished on 17. So no, we're or, in April. Or 16 or whatever.
We're in April, yeah. And then in May, Leeds ensured that they were the first team to what start in the final day in the bottom three?
Be in May, no?
Survive relegation.
Survive, yeah.
You know that United, just going back to that Ronaldo, you know they haven't won a game this season where Ronaldo wasn't on the pitch.
Jesus. Really?
Do you know they finished 11 points behind us?
Yeah, that's insane.
11 points.
And then just finally, what other than winning the league, what was the significance of Man City being two goals down against Villa? Like, they obviously came back to win, but what was the significance of that?
They were going to lose the league if they would stay.
Well done, Abdi.
they might have not lost the league.
What was the significance?
They became the first team ever to come back from two goals down to win the league. On the final day.
Ah, okay.
But cool. Yeah, I mean, they weren't off top spot at all.
Okay, but no team going
again,
into the
again,
final.
Again, another FIFA gazy stats. Just before we finish, could we do this, your teams? So yeah, just I want you guys to vote who...
Well, can you run that by me next time you plan on doing that?
I did, actually. I did. Did I not? There you go.
Oh, yeah.
All right, cool. So I'll throw this one at you. All right. Tan, I want you to start first. So who's been your team's player of the year?
My team's player of the year?
Yes.
Son.
Okay. Who's been your flop of the year?
Ndombele.
Interesting. Who's been your most improved?
Ben Davis.
Interesting. You've been shouting Eric Dier for ages.
No,
but
I think Ben Davis.
All right. Who's the signing of the season?
Kulusevski.
Who's your unsung hero?
Dier.
And who's been your surprise package?
Surprise package. You know what? I'm gonna go with Sessegnon. I think he's improved a lot these past couple of games. And I know it's only a couple of games, but I think he's surprised me. I think he's all right.
All right, Junior. I'm gonna. So, who's Brazil's player? I'm joking. Who's your player of the year?
Saka.
And who's your flop of the year?
Flop.
I'll take that.
Lacazette.
Fair point. Yeah, Lacazette. Who's been your most improved?
Most improved. I'll go with Martinelli because.
You don't think Xhaka? Because Arsenal fans think he's had a decent season.
He has had a decent season, yeah. But I mean, the bar's on the floor because he's been a shambles since then. Who's been the signing of the season?
Ben White.
Ben White. And who's unsung hero?
My unsung hero? Odegaard.
Oh, okay, do you know what? Sorry, go on. Sorry.
Go on.
No, because I forgot about Romero. Quality signing that is. Sorry.
Okay. But still go with Kulusevski.
Yeah, no, I forgot about Romero. I forgot Misa.
So, I mean, are you choosing Romero or Kulusevski?
Yeah, I'm going to choose Romero.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, yeah. And your surprise package?
Surprise package? Can it be bad?
Yeah. I just wrote surprise in it, so it doesn't have to be a positive.
How bad our strikers have been?
Well, that's not a surprise.
We need names. We need names.
Like Nketiah and Lacazette.
Well, Nketiah's played eight games, scored 5 goals. I don't hold him.
No, but like he played earlier. Anyway, this was you asking me.
That's fair. Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize. All right. So can you put your phone down and take part in this, please?
I'm on the questions.
I'll read it to you. Don't need to look at it, bro.
Well, I can't think. I can't pre-think.
Well, do you need to hold your finger across the page like comprehension?
Read the question.
You didn't do unsung hero, Julian.
I did. He said Odegaard. You were talking. That's what happened.
Sorry,
so, Mark, who's your player of the year?
Salah.
All right. Who's your flop of the year?
Ox.
Oh, interesting.
Can you like dust off my shoulder because I said that earlier on before?
Punch him, please.
No, you said he wasn't a good squad player.
Yeah, I said he wasn't a good player.
I think he's a decent player to have in your squad, and he will go and do a good job for someone next season.
Hey, it's your choice.
Anyway, ask me the questions, man. Don't ask me what my rationale is.
Who's your most improved?
Konate.
Really? I mean, he wasn't there last year, was he?
You're asking me my most improved this. I don't know. You're talking about this season or last season?
No, this year. Who's your most improved from last year?
Oh, from last year? I'm doing from start of season to end.
No.
From last year. Yeah. Simikas.
Simikas was good last year, though.
Simikas was... I know, but he's played...
Why are you questioning everything he says?
Can you just let me answer the questions?
What the hell, man?
He's got more minutes this season, and I've always said he was a very, very good player.
My mistake for thinking this is a podcast, you know. Who's your sign of the season?
Diaz,
yeah. Unsung hero?
Minamino. Top scorer in League Cup and FA Cup for us.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Interesting.
Wouldn't have got massive goals against Leicester in the 93rd minute. Yeah. Take it to extra time. Minamino, unsung hero.
And who's been the surprise for the season?
Surprise? That's tough. And I say that's tough. I say it's tough because I know how good how good this team is.
Fair. But give me a surprise, please.
Honestly, I don't know. Konate or Jota?
Yeah, Jota's a good one, yeah. Interesting. I mean, do you want me to do mine or
no? Yeah, I'll read them for you.
Cool.
But put your phone down because you're not allowed to hold that. All right, Abdi, your team's player of the year?
Kevin De Bruyne, I'm joking.
You've been waiting. I know when you were writing these questions out last night or whatever. I'm going
to... Obviously, my hero, Bukayo Saka.
Cool. Your flop of the year?
Aubameyang, actually. Yeah. Because I was shouting his name the whole beginning of the year. Yeah, I was fighting you guys regularly.
You were fighting me regularly.
Yeah. Most improved?
I never got my apology.
Most improved is Thomas Partey. Because he was a shambles last year.
Your signing of the season?
Odegaard.
Unsung hero?
I got Ben White.
And finally, your surprise of the season. Good or bad?
My surprise has actually been...
I think Ramsdale should be a surprise.
That... No, I'd say my surprise has been Tavares, and because I didn't expect him to be this chaotic.
I think Ramsdale, because you have to remember all of us.
No, Rambo has been mid since.
No, I'm going to be honest. Ramsdale, we need to have a conversation about Ramsdale. I personally think.
You know how, like, when the game is tight in a Liverpool game, and then Alisson just pulls off a save? I don't see Ramsdale making those saves. He
expends more energy on, like, turning around and taunting fans.
Yeah.
Like, I think just concentrate on the game of football for me personally. But
it comes to something where Pickford has had a better second half of the season than you, so it's kind of mad.
But here we are.
This has actually been my worst podcast. I hate it.
Yeah, maybe it's because you keep interrupting people when they're talking.
Well, let's just cancel the podcast.
No, why? They just ban you.
Man, you sat down with conviction, boy.
I want next season already, man. I'm excited.
Listen, we've got a couple of months where we need to fill a gap. Obviously, next Tuesday we will have Champions League and Conference League finals to chat about. Plenty of transfer rumors. Maybe we can do a look ahead signings for next season and where we feel our clubs need to who our clubs need to target, etc. But there'll be a lot of content coming.
What do you think of the Europa League final, guys?
I didn't watch it, and I wanted Rangers to lose, and I'm glad they lost.
Wow, what's your agenda against
Rangers? You are a generational hater.
You are. You just hate anyone that breathes.
Why do you hate Rangers?
I didn't want them to win. I just...
Why? You have to have a reason. You can't say I just...
Well, first of all, I don't rate the Scottish Premier League. Like, I don't enjoy it. I don't get the
hype.
But the
Bundesliga is amazing, though.
I don't like Bundesliga either for that reason. So
why didn't you want Frankfurt to lose?
I just need to fact check this. You know how they finished that?
I'm sorry, why should I want Rangers to win?
No. It's not even a want. Well, it's just you actively hate them and want them to lose, but you don't have a reason.
Right, I don't want them to win.
Why?
Because I've just said, I don't like Swiss Premier League. Okay. And from what I've heard about their fans, not too keen. I don't like Rangers. I didn't want them to win.
Okay, cool. Because the Frankfurt fans are angels, aren't they?
You have an answer for everything.
Listen, yeah. Let me have an agenda.
Okay? I love how you ask a question and then when someone answers and it's not to your liking, you have to talk.
Hey, I was part of the Jers, the blue army.
The Jers. Listen, as you say, agenda's got an agenda. Yeah, let town your agenda, didn't it?
Yeah, and I bet she loved it. That was an ex-Arsenal player who ruined it for them.
Oh, is it?
Ramsey.
No, so you didn't even watch it?
Do you know what happened? Who won?
One.
West Ham. I heard West Ham won.
Ramsey missed the penalty.
I heard West Ham won.
Oh,
Ramsey, and just on that note, it was a shocking penalty.
He's never been
a
good penalty taker.
Shocking penalty.
With Arsenal, he has that technique where he runs like that.
Listen, Van Bronckhorst will learn. I think he either had to bring him on with half an hour to go and give him a proper period of time, or
don't bring him on. Can I ask why you not wanted Rangers to win? Just out of curiosity, why?
Because we're Brits, you know.
Oh, goodness.
Never do that again.
You can't even think of a reason why you want them to win.
What affiliate? I hate the Bundesliga. What affiliation do I have?
You know what? I've enjoyed their journey from start to finish in the Europa League. It's been good to watch, and it's been a it's been a journey that I've followed. Quite refreshing. I don't know whether you meant that or that was sarcastic.
No, it's been a breath of fresh air because the atmosphere. Like, do you not like that shot they do of the roaming into the crowd after they score a goal?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I wanted them to win because, like, the fans, like, obviously really passionate fans.
That's
and,
really sweet. But...
And obviously, like, Aaron Ramsey there, like, I wanted...
I really, really hope Rangers fans not start to hate on them.
Everyone else does, so it wouldn't be a surprise.
Wow, they're building that us versus them mentality now. Us against the world.
Big up Frankfurt.
With
man.
Nothing to show for it.
Big up Frankfurt.
Oh, they hate us because they're so good.
No, they absolutely have something to show for it. They've
no,
beaten us six seasons.
Genuinely, we're the worst hated team.
No,
that's not true.
No,
everyone hates Man United.
we're everyone's rivals, even though we don't win nothing. Everyone don't like
Who
us.
Who said that?
No, people have
Chelsea
been reveling in the way that we lost.
People have been loving Arsenal have.
Listen, we're not going to play. We're the biggest victims.
It's true.
It's not that
we're actually having a victim off right now.
I think it's because like on our Twitter or whatever it is, we see the hate that comes towards our club, and we don't.
I just think,
look,
people have been
because I wasn't people. Talking.
No, I get what you're saying, but I'm just adding on to your point. You know, supporting you, so you don't have to cut me off in a rude way. I'm just saying, I get what you're saying. There's a lot of hate towards Arsenal, but there has been some admirers. Tottenham, people like them because Tottenham are a bit further away from the top six in terms of like people who've won.
We're not lying.
Liverpool, people actually like Klopp, and they like that. Every human being who has a rational brain. Hate Man United, If you like Man United, there's no one who can say I like Man United.
I don't like Man United, but hate, I can't say I hate
I think they
I
have
hate
millions
Chelsea
of supporters.
And I hate
Apart from Man United. Like, if you're not a Man United fan, you can't say I like Man United.
To be honest, I just think you would dislike any team that's successful. Let's be honest. Like, you're not going to like the team that's successful, are you?
Did I try to hold your hand?
Crazy.
End this podcast, man. It should have ended like 10 minutes.
Trying to hold my hand under the
but
table.
Why do you hate Liverpool? That's what I don't
Wait,
get.
Wait, man of the week. We haven't done man of
yeah.
the week.
Why do you hate
Scrap
Liverpool?
This
we need to have a conversation.
We've got 12 weeks to chat whatever we want while there's no Prem football.
That's true.
Whatever we want.
12 part documentary about why I hate Liverpool.
No, I bet can we do that? Like top five hated clubs that we hate and why?
We can do what we can get creative.
Your list is way longer than five.
Liverpool.
Spud me, that was quite good. Don't ever do that.
I'm not coming. You deserve that.
I'm not coming back next week.
You deserve that.
To be fair, mine will be longer than mine.
you deserve that.
I'm not coming back next week.
Tanya, who's your man of the week?
My man of the week is Antonio Conte, because I think he's done a phenomenal job. We were ninth when he took over. We couldn't create any chances. And he's absolutely revolutionised this team, which I don't really think is good enough.
Oh, yeah, because
enough.
It's a revolution, yeah. Okay.
But I think he's done a cracking job. I'm giving it to Conte, my manager. Antonio.
Okay, that was it.
I'll turn you piss off. Don't
come
back next
week. Antonio.
So what, is it just going to be me and Mark
Antonio.
Next week?
All right,
Tanya, okay.
Antonio.
Okay, Tanya, we get it.
You better edit this whole section out.
Okay, Abdi, your turn.
We've got two. Good one.
I'll give you a good one.
Okay.
He's got two goals, won the league.
All right.
What?
Actually, it's Junior.
Oh, sorry.
So you lot are too tactical, but you just want to win. I'm just genuinely... I'll just change mine. I always pick Spurs stuff, don't I? Anyway,
I'm going to give it to... I know he didn't score, but he was a big part of why Leeds stayed up is Rafinha.
He did score, and I was going to give it to him.
Oh,
that's
he's
got the
pen. Yeah.
So
there you go.
I'm in the mud, because that's who I was going to give it to, and now I'm going to have to quickly recalibrate.
Give it to Bruno Fernandes, because
I'll give it.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Man United
because Abdi writes the agendas.
Listen, we'll do next week. They can have we give it. Listen, we can do club season reviews and choose whoever we want. Yeah. I'm going to give it to Jack Harrison just to speed this up. Got the win off for Leeds. I know they didn't need it in the end, but it was scenes. Had a quiet second half this season, but turned up when it mattered.
Why didn't you give it to Son?
Yeah, exactly. No one held your mouth.
You scored two against Norwich, Daniel.
I know, it's true. It was banging
you
goals.
You spent 20 minutes singing Antonio, you could have given it to Son.
Banging goals, though, come on.
Yeah, Conte would have scored two against Norwich.
Anyway, listen, you're talking to the future champions of Europe, so...
Yeah.
I end this right now.
Yeah, future when no one's about, innit?
Hey, don't you use that on Abdi.
We'll catch you up.
Oh, bye. My God.
Sports Social Podcast Network.